Oh Lord, attend unto my prayer. Would you listen to me, oh God? He says, for when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me, carry me, take me, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in as we begin a new week. Pastor Bill is currently teaching an in-depth study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter. Pastor continues the study today with the message titled, What is the Church? Let's listen in.
1 Peter has been a wonderful study, and this morning it's really important that our mindset, as we cover these scriptures, especially verses 4 through 10, that our mind is right and we understand what we're learning and what we're reading, okay? So this morning I'm going to talk to you about a subject that where, believe it or not, there is much confusion, and that is, what is the church? I mean, we think about that at times. I mean, like, for example, this morning you got up and probably had your scrambled eggs and your coffee and said, we better hurry or we're going to be late for church. Well, is this the church? No, this is a what? Four people knew it was a building. No, it's a building, amen? So who is the church? We're the church. Amen. So we want to talk about that. So last Sunday, we know that we've been talking all of this last few weeks about salvation that we have, this great salvation. And we learned last Sunday about the essentials, or those stepping stones to spiritual maturity. And we were commanded to, you know, lay aside those five wicked sins, strip them off like dirty clothing. And then we were commanded to, if we're going to grow spiritually, we were commanded to desire. It's a heavy, heavy word in Greek, a strong word. It means crave. You have to have the spiritual milk of the word. And then it says all that leads to the third thing, which is to taste our experience. And we experience when we are born again the incredible, the how good Jesus is and how kind he is. Amen. So that's where we were last Sunday. Now, before we look at these incredible verses, these incredible privileges that we have as believers, I want to just talk about a couple of truths. And they may sound negative, but they're not negative. They're the truth. Amen? Truth is truth. God's truth is truth. Now, when we look at those verses in verses 4 through 10, the mindset that we are to have is not thinking that these verses are talking about the local church, because they're not. They're talking about the universal church all over the world. Amen? Very important to see that. So there's only one church, only one true church. There may be many different denominations, but out of all those denominations that truly worship Jesus Christ, those are our family all over the world. So this is about the universal church. Now listen carefully. We learned last Sunday that you cannot grow spiritually apart from the Word of God. Amen? You have to renew your mind, because that is the basis for all transformation into Christ's likeness, going from glory to glory by the Holy Spirit who's working in all of us. Now, so spiritual growth is impossible without the Word of God, but that doesn't stop there. See, spiritual growth is also impossible if you're in isolation. Do you know that? In other words, spiritual growth, you don't grow spiritually in isolation. Have you ever noticed that? There's no iron to sharpen the iron. So it's very important that we understand that Christians really don't grow in isolation. They don't grow apart from the family of God, because we're all connected. In other words, can you imagine being a quarterback on a football team, but you don't have any team? You're just throwing the ball and you catch it yourself. Kick your own field goal. Oh, I'm my own referee. That was not right. You know. I mean, is that fun? No, but people are alone today. We live in isolation. No, I don't, but people live in isolation. In other words, when I was a kid, I played basketball every evening after my homework. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't play by myself. Man, it was fun. But today, you can play basketball, football by yourself. All you have to do is get a video game. You know what I mean? Oh, and you can even have scores, and people play all over the world. I didn't know that till the other day. Did you know that? You can play people all over the world. I'm going, what kind of deal is that? I learn a lot getting older, right? Now, I don't know where I was going. Now, with all of that being said, we don't grow apart from the family of God. We don't grow in isolation. So here's the deal. We need, you need, I need, the church needs God's people, but we also need God's word. Amen? Now, let me say something. It's going to sound negative. I was talking to someone the other day, or many times I talk with people, but, you know, and I'm saying, man, I haven't seen you in such a long time. How are you doing? And, oh, I just haven't been in church. And I go, well, why? Well, Bill, I really don't like church. Well, you are the church. You know, what is it that you don't like about you? I don't know. I mean, no, I just don't like, I don't like Christians. Well, there's some of them I love less too. But here's the problem. Is that and they go, well, I listen online. Oh, you listen online. Well, are you sick? No. Are you disabled? Are you a shut-in? No. Well, then you're in trouble. I thank God for online people that listen right now. We have shut-ins, thank God, and we love you, okay? And so forth. But here's the deal, loved one, is like this. You know, you don't grow in isolation. And, you know, if you're physically able to attend church and you don't, then you know what? You need to go check your heart. You need to check your heart. You know, the last time I checked, God doesn't have any lone rangers out there. You know, I'm a believer, but I'm not in church. No, you need to be in church if you are a Christian. Now, with all that being said, is it a command for us to be together? Yes, it is. And there's a reason for that. We need one another. We need to be connected with one another. We're the body of Christ. We are actually family. Amen? Now, some of us may be the black sheep of the family, I understand, but we're still family, all right? So the Bible tells us, it's a command. It says in Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us, that's all the church, let us consider one another in order to stir up or provoke each other to love and good works. Well, how in the world can we do that if we're in isolation? Amen? And it goes on and it says, not forsaking, not abandoning the assembling of ourselves together. All of us coming together on Sunday. And it says, as is the manner or the habit of some, but exhorting one another as much more you see the day approaching. So those truths are very important. We need God's word to grow, and we also need each other to grow. Amen? Because each of us have different gifts, and how can they be manifested if they're in isolation? Amen? Okay, the second thing that we need to understand, because when we get to this text and we start seeing who the church is, what the church is, we kind of lose the theme of Peter. Remember what 1 Peter 5:12, where Silas is taking writing it down. He's the secretary. And Peter writes, he says, I'm writing you this very short letter, okay? To exhort you, that means to strengthen you, to come alongside of you, because they were going through bitter, bitter persecution and suffering. Suffering is listed 17 times in 1 Peter, all right? So he says, I've come alongside of you to encourage you. Don't give up. Know who you are in Christ. And he says that you do something. He gives a command that you stand firm in the grace of the living God. Amen? Or he says, the true grace of God. Now, so what he's doing here, he's writing to all those believers then, and he's writing to all the believers of every generation, okay? He's telling them, listen, despite your trials, despite the horrible persecutions that you're going through, remember they were dispersed into the five provinces of the Roman Empire, which was at that time modern Turkey, okay? And so there they were, and they were out of Jerusalem and all those things, and they were being bitterly treated by the residents of a world that's not their own. So it was written to assure them, man, don't give up. Don't worry about it. Just trust the grace of God. So with all that being said, he does something. He's reminding them, and boy, do we need to really be reminded of this. He's reminding them in the midst of their persecution, in the midst of their trials, don't you ever, ever forget who you are. He's talking to the universal church now. He's talking to all of us, the church all over the world. And let's begin in verse 4. He says, okay, in verse, well, let me just go to verse 3 mentally. He says, now that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, that he is kind, that he is good, that all that he does is good. The word taste means to experience. Once, now that you've experienced that, he says, coming to him, coming to Jesus. How? He says, coming to Jesus as to a living what? A living stone. Now, that's present tense in a Greek. It's also an imperative. He says, so he's speaking of constantly coming to the Lord, and we do. We come to the Lord every day, don't we, in prayer. And it speaks of that intimacy. So it says, coming unto him. You know why we come to Jesus? Not only did he save us, but loved one, it tells us in chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus is our living hope. Our living hope. Amen? It's not a dead hope. He's our living hope. He's the blessed hope. And I tell you what, he's coming for us one day, isn't he? And not only that, in 1:23, Jesus is the living word of God. And then here, what kind of stone is Jesus? He is the living stone. So when we come to him, we're coming to Jesus, the risen, ascended, seated at the throne of God. We're coming to the rock. He is our stone. He is our rock of salvation, if you will. And no matter what we face in this life, when we come to him, he's our shelter, he's our strength, and he is our provision. And here's what's so wonderful. He is the living stone, risen from the dead. Now, not only just that one thing, but listen, the stone lives in you and me. The rock lives, amen? Christ in me, the hope of glory. He lives in me. Listen about the rock that's in you right now. The Song of Moses, he says in Deuteronomy 32:3, he says, for I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to God. Why? He is the rock. Boy, listen, that means he can't be moved. He can't be changed. It means that he is our shelter. He is our defense. Amen? He is the rock of our salvation, and thank God he lives in me. In Isaiah, God said this in Isaiah 44:8. He says, there is no God besides me. Isn't that wonderful that we have the only true God? And not only that, he said, and there is no other rock besides me. You know, one of my favorite verses is King David penned through the Spirit. It says, O Lord, he's in Psalm 61, I believe it is, verse 1 and 2. He says, O Lord, attend unto my prayer. In other words, would you bring your ear all the way down from heaven to earth? And would you listen to my voice? Would you listen to me, O God? He says, for when my heart is overwhelmed, he says, lead me, carry me, take me, whatever it needs, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And when you stand upon that rock, loved one, you're in a safe place. Amen? Boy, there's not a greater place of safety. And the only cure for an overwhelmed heart is Jesus Christ. Oh, he's there with us every minute of the way. And loved one, listen, we're living in a time. There's a few months left in this year. And you know what? I know summer's here, but it'll be fall before we know it. And not only that, we need to keep constantly be wise by building our life on the rock every day, not just once in a while. I mean, every day, all of our decisions, all that we do. Jesus told us what to do. Remember in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, he said, man, there's storms that are going to come against you. There's the winds, meaning troubles in this life. And he says, but if you build your house upon the rock, is it going to fall? No, it's not. Why? Your house, your life is founded upon the rock, which is what? The sayings of Jesus. And then you do the sayings of Jesus. Matthew 7, 24 and following. So that's very, very important. And then he says, rejected, the living stone is rejected, disapproved by men. They don't want anything to do with him. It says rejected indeed by men. So Peter's quoting a messianic psalm here, actually Psalm 118 verse 22. And he says rejected by men, but oh, chosen by God. And more than that, and precious. Jesus, the living stone, is the rejected stone. John 1:11, he came to his own people, his own nation. He came to save his people, and they rejected him. They received him not. the creator of all things, they didn't want anything to do with him. The religious leaders of that day, they looked with their own eyes on the Lamb of God and didn't know it. They looked upon the most sinless, the spotless, most loving, compassionate, generous, know all things person that ever walked the face of the earth. Amen. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's the Son of the living God. And they tossed him out. They wanted nothing to do with him. But what man rejects, you know what God the Father says? I chose him and he's precious to me. I pray he's precious to you. Amen. It says in 1 Peter 1:20 that he was foreordained before the foundation of the earth. Jesus was. To die for the sins of the world. He was a redeemer before creation ever occurred. And so we look at these things here, these readers, they're in bitter persecution. And Peter says, okay, I want you to grasp this. Jesus is a living stone and precious, but you are a living stone too. Look what he does in verse 5. He says, you, now that's plural. So he's talking about not just the individual Christian, but all Christians, meaning the universal church. But you also, look what he calls us, as living stones, that's plural, living stones. Did you know that if you look up those words in Greek, they're the exact same word given to Jesus? So we are living stones just like he's living stones by virtue of the new birth and our relationship with our Lord. We become a living stone as well. And so he says, but you, so he's given a contrast there. He says, yeah, they reject the Lord Jesus Christ, the living stone, but you have accepted him. And that's what we are, what we've done. Warren Wiersbe said this, another stone, when we come to Christ, he said, another stone quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented by grace into the building. What a word is that. Now, look what living stones, what are happening. So God is taking all the living stones all over the world, and he says, are being built up a what? A spiritual house. So the spiritual house is the universal church. We go by many names. We're the flock of God. We're the bride of Christ. You know, we're the family of God, the body of Christ, and so forth. We're the sheep of his pasture. We're in the vine and so forth. So Jesus, what did he tell us about his church? How did he say he was going to build it? Did he say the living stone was going to build it upon another stone? Didn't he say he was going to build it on a rock? He came to Peter, remember in Matthew 16:15. He says, Peter, who is everybody saying I am? And he said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say you're just one of the prophets. Some say you're Elijah. And he looked at Peter, Jesus did, and said, Peter, but who do you say that I am? And he says, you, Lord, you are the Christ, the anointed one. You are the Son of the living God. And the Lord looked at Peter and said, Simon Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And he says to Peter, he says, and I say to you, Peter, and Peter, by the way, means a little rock, right? A little stone. Petra, a little bitty tiny rock. He says, I say unto you, Peter, and on this rock, this Petra, this massive stone, on this rock, Jesus says, I will build my church. This is not our church. This is his church. Amen. He says, I'll build my church. Gates of hell not prevail against it. So the stone that Jesus was talking about, was it Peter? No. Peter, he knew he was no rock. Believe me. Okay. No. As a matter of fact, a little bit after that, you know, Satan got all over him. He said, Jesus rebuked him because he was acting like the devil and so forth. So the thing is that Peter, and that's another thing, I say this tenderly, but Peter wasn't the first pope. Amen. No, come on, guys. No, listen. Listen to what the Bible says. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:19. He says, now, therefore, we're no longer strangers. We're no longer strangers to the good news. We're no longer strangers to God the Father. We're no longer strangers to Jesus our Lord or the Holy Spirit. We're no longer strangers. We're no longer foreigners or aliens, but fellow citizens of the saints, members of God's own household, here it comes, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There's no other, the only place the church can be built upon is on one man. His name is Christ Jesus. Christianity is Jesus. Amen. Yeah, Christianity is a person. It's our Lord. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, no other foundation can anyone lay that's already laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Mankind doesn't have a choice of which foundation to build on. It's already laid, and there's only one. It's Jesus Christ. And there is no room on Christ, the cornerstone, his foundation, for any religion in the world except Christianity. None other. He is our sure foundation, loved one. He is the chief cornerstone. And it says in Ephesians 2:21, in whom, meaning Jesus, our living stone, the whole building, the church, being fitted together, meaning perfectly joined together, grows into a holy temple. What the church, we're a holy temple. And that word temple there, there's only two words for temple in the Greek, okay? Like the temple of God. It's heron. That speaks of the proper, the Gentile area. And then there's the word naos, which is speaking of the Holy of Holies, where God dwells. Now, he says, we're the temple in the Lord, in whom also we are being built together, not in isolation, built together, a dwelling place for God in the Spirit. So we are the church. Are we the temple of God? Yes, we are the naos of God. We're the holy of holies of God. Now listen, the church is universal, the universal church. And in that is one body, one family, resting on one foundation with one head, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Jesus is building his church all over the world for 2,000 years, all over the world. He's not building it on stones, bricks, naturals. He's building it on living stones. That's you and that's me. Amen? In every generation. So that means every race of people, every color of people. I'm talking about all of it. You know, and when it says that we're living stones, that means that we are hewn or cut stones. We are actually crafted by God to fit exactly in the body of Christ where we need to be. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, I mean, think about that. What your position that's there, it's exactly what you need that God has created you for. And we're not identical stones. Have you noticed that? No, we're not. I mean, some of us are, you know, skinny stones. Some of us are corpulent stones. Corpulent. That's another word. That's a kind word. You want me to say it the other way? Never mind. Some of us are large Christians. You know, large stones. You know, and some of us are stones that we'd like to, never mind. But the thing of it is here is that we're black stones. We got black stones, white stones. We're every color, amen? We're all kinds of people. Now listen, remember when we built the other part of the church and all of that. Remember the stones there in the hallway and over in the main lobby? Have you noticed that those stones, they tell a story about this church here? You'll see brown stones, white stones, red stones, every kind of color. You'll see fat stones, huh? There it is, corpulent. And you'll see skinny, I mean, but and the little tiny and big and so forth, all different every areas, but they're all together as one. See, God has not called us to sameness, but to oneness, amen? And that's what it is. You know, Cranfield, who's a biblical scholar, he wrote this. He said, the freelance Christian who would be a Christian but is too superior to belong to the visible church on earth in one of its forms is simply a contradiction in terms. Well, that's a true word. See, we can't live in isolation. And there are many, many people that call themselves Christians. They don't never go to church. Never go to church. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't hear the word of God, you're not going to grow. And if you live in isolation, you're not going to grow. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he who lives in isolation is not wise. You know, I read a story about the king of Sparta. He had visited many other kings, but every time he did, he bragged on the walls that surrounded the city of Sparta. And what a strong defense. No one could penetrate them. And so one day, one of the visiting kings came to the city of Sparta, and he was shocked. He came and talked to the king, says, where are all these walls that you bragged about that was defending your city? And you know what he did? He pointed to his troops. He pointed to his troops. And he said, these are the walls of Sparta. And every man, every person is a brick or a stone.
Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on tomorrow's program. And we trust you'll tune in once again. Amen.
Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. Be blessed, and we'll see you next time.
If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.